Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, or as it was called in the early church, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is our text today. We come to Ascension Sunday. Ascension Sunday. Ascension Sunday is the day when we mark the time when Jesus ascended into heaven. It was 40 days after he was resurrected from the dead, and it was 10 days prior to what we will be celebrating next week, which is Pentecost. Let us hear today, though, the word of the Lord for us, starting at verse 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing upward toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. June 10th, 1935. Is marked as the day that Alcoholics Anonymous was founded. June 10th, 1935. It's the day that Dr. Bob Smith put down a drink for the very last time. And Dr. Bob Smith managed to stay sober for the rest of his life. But there was something that Dr. Bob Smith said on that day. You see, there were two men in that room that day. They were in a hotel room. They were trying to keep each other sober. Dr. Bob Smith is one of the founders of AA, the other being Bill Wilson. And Bill Wilson, credited as the founder of AA, helped Dr. Bob Smith become sober. But it was Dr. Bob Smith who said, now we have to go and help somebody else. Because if we don't, we will surely die. Very dire words. But Dr. Bob understood a concept that few, even in the church today, understand. And that concept is sort of the motto of not just AA, but also other 12-step programs. We keep what we have only by giving it away. We keep what we have only by giving it away. That was his thought that day. We have to give it away. We can't just sit here. We can't just keep ourselves sober. We have to go out and get other people to put down a drink and have new lives and new promise. That's what Dr. Bob said. Let's go out and do something. Well, we're looking at the text today. It's a continuation of the book of Luke. The book of Acts, it's commonly believed, was written by the great physician Luke. Luke, who was a compatriot of Paul's, he was a friend of Paul's. They went on many journeys together, as witnessed in some of the writings in the book of Acts, where Luke actually refers to the people who went with Paul as we. We went here and we went there. And so speaking in the plural version of the third person or the first person, he was saying that he was part of this trip. Luke wrote his two books as letters. Letters to an unknown person named Theophilus. Theophilus. If you break down the name Theophilus, Theo meaning God, and Philus meaning brother. Brother in God. Theophilus. But he writes his letters to this person, Theophilus, and he says in the first book, Theophilus, I wrote all about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He was referring back to his first letter. And in Luke's first letter, at the very end of the first letter, Luke wrote these words. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. That's the way the book of Luke ends. They were in the temple continually blessing God. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Jesus, when he takes them up into this hill, he says to them, this is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Same promise that he gave them in the book of John that we saw last week, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his people, to his followers, that they would not be left alone. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you in the Holy Spirit. He didn't say in the Holy Spirit, but that's what he was implying. The Holy Spirit comes from God and fills the followers with the power to do what God calls them to do. And that's important. That's important for us to understand that we're not to just go out and do whatever we feel like we should do. We are to be led by the Spirit into action. And not just sitting around and waiting for something to happen or sitting and waiting for Jesus to return. Many denominations have set themselves to do that, to just sit and wait for Jesus to return. Many of those denominations are no longer here because why? They just sat and they waited and they did nothing. And if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. But in verse 6, the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still waiting for this physical kingdom. They anticipated that Jesus would be the king of Israel. Well, surely now he has been crucified. He died, but he rose from the grave. Now he's going to become our king. Now he's going to restore Israel to its original splendor. But that's not what Jesus came to do. In a fellowship called the Walk to Emmaus, we have a saying, don't anticipate, participate. Say that with me. Don't anticipate.
Don't anticipate.
Participate. It means this. Don't try and think ahead what we're going to do. Don't try and tell Jesus what we're going to do for him. Oh, Jesus, is this the time when you're going to restore your kingdom? Oh, Jesus, is this the time when you're going to take this church and build it back up? Now, maybe God will use this church to build another church. Who knows? Don't anticipate. Participate. Get involved. Do something. Do something. Don't anticipate. Participate. This is what Jesus says. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to know. It's not for us to know. Why? Because, well, let's see. If you're anything like me, I'm telling on myself this morning. If you're anything like me, if you get an assignment that's due in 6 months, you'll do it 6 hours before it's due. Okay? That's me. That's how I work. That's how I roll, as it were. Actually, I stole those words from a cousin of mine on Facebook. She said, you give me 6 months to do something, and I'll do it 6 hours before. And I said, you know what? That's how I do it, too. That's the family way. That's how we do it. It's not just her. It's me, too. But Jesus says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, there's four things there, and that particular sentence, I've given a sermon on that one sentence before. You could do a whole sermon series on that. But let me break it down for you very quickly. There's four things that Jesus mentions. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the spiritual center of their faith. It's where the temple is. For us, Jerusalem is here, this church, which means we need to be witnesses in our church. We need to be witnesses right here. We need to witness to each other. We need to witness to everybody who comes through the door. That's Jerusalem. Judea. Judea is where we live. It's our community. It's right where we are. It's not just in these four walls, but it is the community itself, the community that surrounds us. Jerusalem was in the heart of a province called Judea. And so they would start in Judea, in their spiritual center, and they would go outward to all the community. Samaria. Well, I've talked about how the Jews felt about the Samaritans. They had some very bad history going all the way back to 2 Kings chapter 17. It wasn't a place that they wanted to go. They said, well, we can witness to our own. Well, we're not going to witness to those Samaritans. Jesus said, no, this message isn't just for you. It's for all the world. It's for those Samaritans. It's for those places where you don't want to go and carry the message. Think of some place where you don't want to go and witness. That's your Samaria, whatever it might be. For some people, they might not, maybe they don't want to go to work and talk about their own faith with Jesus Christ, to their co-workers. Maybe some people don't want to go to a soup kitchen and help serve the homeless and witness their faith to them. Whatever it is, it's a place that you don't want to go, a place that is undesirable to you. That's your Samaria. And he finishes with, and to the ends of the earth. And we're very good as a denomination. The United Methodist Church is very good as a denomination in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. We have missions that go into Africa and into Mexico, Guatemala, Central America, South America, all over the world. proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to people who don't know Jesus Christ. We're very good at that. What we're not so good at is Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But that's a sermon for another time. So Jesus says that you will receive power and that you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to Samaria, and to all the earth. Then it says, verse 9, when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now I can imagine this was a pretty surprising thing. It's not something you see every day. You're standing there, and all of a sudden one of your friends just lifts up into the clouds. Wow. So I can imagine how they were feeling. They were just standing there. Wow. That was kind of cool. Think he'll do it again? Maybe. I don't know. But they were just standing there, and they were watching, and they were just standing there. And finally, it tells us, two men in white robes stood by them. Two angels came, because they were just standing there, looking. Wow, did you see that? That was really cool. Kind of wish I Instagrammed that one. Yeah, nobody believed that. So the two angels came, and they said, why are you just standing here? Why are you just standing here? This is what they said. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? What are you doing? Didn't Jesus just now tell you what you're supposed to do? Now, these two guys who came, they were just nameless angels who came. But they came and they brought a message. Now, they weren't the Holy Spirit, but they were stirring these guys into action. They said, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So we know that someday Jesus will return. We have this promise. But I want to focus on what the angels said. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Why are you just standing there? Go and do something. Go and do something. We find out at the end of the book of Luke that they went into the temple and they praised God daily. But that's not the end of the story. They didn't keep their faith to themselves. They couldn't. They couldn't possibly keep their faith to themselves. Why? How do I know? Well, what are we all doing here? 2,000 years later. If those men didn't share their faith, if they didn't witness as they were called to do, if they didn't go out and do something, then the faith would have died with them. The faith would have died right there on that hill in Galilee, because they would have been standing there. People might have looked at them and said, what are those guys doing up on that hill? Just staring into the clouds. Bunch of dreamers. That's all. Just standing there, staring up into the clouds. You might go, well, I wonder what they're doing. Somebody might even go and ask, but I kind of doubt it. I would probably steer clear. But they didn't just stand there. They went. And they witnessed. They witnessed to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That's why we're here. That's why we're here today. Because they did something. If all you do is stand there and look into heaven, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. We can gather here every Sunday and gaze lovingly into heaven and praise God and sing pretty songs out of our book and pray and read the Word of God and do all those things that we are supposed to do. Don't get me wrong. But if we don't carry it out into the world, nothing will happen. I was standing outside this morning, and don't ask me why. It's had nothing to do with my sermon. I promise you that. But I was standing outside this morning, and I was just waving to cars as they drove by. I don't know. I just thought, you know, what do people think when they see this church building? Or do they even notice it? You know, from the road as you're driving by at 30 miles an hour, Do you really notice the church building? And if you do, what do you think of it? You know, on my way here last Sunday, I saw a number of people standing out on the bridge at Olman's Creek fishing. And I thought to myself, those people need to get into church. You know? Well, maybe they were going to go to church. Maybe they were catching fish, and maybe they already had their loaves, and they were going to feed somebody. I don't know. But you know what? If I don't stop and ask, talk to them, I don't know. We see a lot of things that need to be done in the church. We see a lot of things that need to be accomplished. And people will lament all the time, boy, we need this, and we need that, and we need the other thing. If only we could. If only we had. Well, don't just stand there. Do something. If you see a need, fill it. If you see a need in the church, fill it. Bring it to my attention. As a pastor, my role is to enable good ministry. That means if you come to me and you say, Pastor Brett, I want to do X, Y, and Z, my first response is going to be, what do you need from me? What do you want me to do? How can I help you to accomplish X, Y, and Z? Want me to get into the pulpit and talk about it? Want me to gather people around? Want me to send out an email? What do you want me to do? We'll start right now and do it. Do it together. Do it together. Don't just stand there. Do something. Do something. Whatever it might be. However God is calling you to go forth. And again, we don't anticipate, but we participate. Now that doesn't mean that we just sit around waiting for somebody else to start something so that we could join in. You know, when I was at Pittman, I asked the question, why are we not participating in the two parades that we have here in town? There's a 4th of July parade, and there's a Christmas parade. And every year I see a big float and musicians from the Gloucester County Church. Why don't I see a Pittman United Methodist float? Well, we used to have one. We had one years ago. Good. Then we know how to do it. Let's do it again. And we did. We had a float. You know what we did? We took some of the guys in the men's praise team. We put them on a flatbed truck, and we went down the street, and we just sang songs, praising God. We had youth from VBS were walking along, handing out candy and handing out little flyers that said what's going on at Pittman. We were doing something out in the community, and we were going out. And it was because, and I don't take any credit for it, I saw a need. I raised the issue. Of course, then I got put on the parade committee, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, I beg you, don't not say something because you don't want to be involved, because you don't want to do it. But if you see a need, bring it up. We have greeters at the door on Sunday morning. We have a list of dates that need to be filled. But the reason why we have those greeters is because somebody saw a need. Why isn't somebody standing at the door greeting people as they come in? So now we have a list of greeters, and we have people every Sunday who stand there with a bulletin and a smile and a handshake greeting people. And now when somebody walks in, they know they are welcomed. They know they are loved. They also know where the bulletins are, you know? Fills a purpose. So don't just stand there. Do something. Like I said, if the early believers didn't do something to share their faith, if they just stood there waiting for Jesus to return, Christianity would have died on that hill in Galilee. Is that the same faith that we want for our church? Do we want to just stand here waiting for a Christ's return? Do we want to keep this miracle all to ourselves? Or do we want to go do something about it? Share it with the world, which is in so desperate need of this good news. and so shrouded in darkness that it needs our light. Maybe we here today need a nudge like those men of Galilee. Well, here is your nudge. Here is your angel saying to you, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? Go out and share this good news that Jesus will come in the same way that we saw him go. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this word. We pray, Lord, that you won't let us get ahead of you and strike out on our own, but that you, through your Holy Spirit, will guide us. Show us what we need to do. Show us where we need to be. Give us the words of life that we can proclaim to the world. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to go forth, to proclaim and to witness to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to all the world. Send us forth, Lord. Nudge us. Let us not just stand and wait, but go and do. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching, as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith communities in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. If you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.